I'd like to read firstly in Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. That's page 1194. Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 25. Page 1194. Mark 3, 25. And if a house has become divided against itself, that house cannot subsist. And if Satan rise up against himself and is divided, he cannot subsist, but has an end. But no one can, having entered into his house, plunder the goods of the strong man, unless he first bind the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. And then in Romans chapter 5, that's page 1353. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For we, being still without strength, in due time Christ has died for the ungodly. And then lastly in Ephesians chapter 6, that's page 1416. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. For the rest, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the panoply or armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the artifices of the devil. Because our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against principalities, against authorities, against the universal lords of this darkness, against spiritual power of wickedness in the heavenlies. For this reason take to you the panoply of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having accomplished all things, to stand. Stand therefore, having girt about your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and shod your feet with the preparation of the glad tidings of peace. Besides all these, having taken the shield of faith, with which ye will be able to quench all the inflamed darts of the wicked one. Have also the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, praying at all seasons with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching unto this very thing with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You'll notice that each one of these passages that we read about talk about strength. When we say strength, use the word strength or strong, we have different ideas about what strength is, don't we? Some people might think of a strongman competition where I understand you have to be able to lift 15 stone on your own if you want to join a strongman competition. You might think of mental strength, people that can go through great suffering. You might think of strength in creation. I understand that the leaf cutter ant can lift 40 times its own body weight. That's amazing strength, isn't it, that we see in God's creation. If an ant was the size of a man, it would be able to carry 3 railway carriages on its back. What strength there is in the creation. Some people think themselves as strong, don't they? When we're strong, we can do things which people that are weak can't. But when we look at what strength is according to God's word, we're given a different view, aren't we? A different view. So I'd like us just to look briefly at what strength is. There's many, many things through the Bible, many verses through the Bible which talk about that. But Jesus said something very unusual and interesting, doesn't he? In Mark chapter 3. How wonderful it is to start with the words of Jesus and what he actually says about a good starting point in the gospel, aren't they? Because every word of Jesus, every word of God's word, the Bible, is true. But Jesus' words are divine because they come straight from the mouth of God. So what does Jesus say? If a house has become divided against its house, that house cannot subsist. But a verse I wanted to highlight was in verse 27. He talks about a strong man. This strong man that he's talking about Satan. He's talking about the devil, who's mentioned in verse 26. The strong man And whoever is going to plunder the goods of the strong man must bind the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Satan is our enemy. He is the devil. He is the serpent who deceived Eve. And Adam and Eve disobeyed in the garden. The serpent questioned God's word. We were talking about that this afternoon. That's what the devil does. He attacks by questioning the power of God. He questions God's position. He questioned God, the truth of God's word. Whenever we get anyone questioning whether God's word is really true, that's the devil's work. But Satan is our enemy. He is our strong enemy. Jesus refers to him as a strong man. He's actually a fallen angel, but he is our enemy. And we have a strong enemy. If you have a strong enemy, the only solution is to have someone stronger and greater to overcome the strong man. Last week we had a wonderful reminder about the Lord Jesus as the Prince. I'd like to present the Lord Jesus Christ as the strong man, the stronger man than the enemy. All strength and might is in him. At the end of the Gospels, Jesus says, "All power has been given to me in heaven and upon earth." There is power available in the Gospel tonight. Strength and power that is not ours, that is not our own. It's what we have, it's what is available from God by trusting and putting our faith and trust in him. So in this passage, the devil is the strong man. And the strong man has a house. This house is those that he holds captive. The devil holds captive everyone who is under the power of sin. Jesus is the only one who can bind the strong man and then plunder his house, save people from his slavery. The Lord Jesus Christ came to deliver you from slavery, from the slavery to the strong man. Slavery to sin. Slavery to all of the effects of sin and the effects of our sin, which eventually lead to death. Not just physical death, but eternal death. The Lord Jesus Christ is greater and stronger than the devil. He alone was able to bind the strong man. And we read this afternoon in the end of Mark's Gospel that Jesus went down into the very depths of death. The women saw where he was put, where he was buried. But he rose victorious from the grave, dear friends. There is power in the Gospel. Not power from the preacher. The preacher has no power of himself. He feels his weakness. When we preach the Gospel, we feel our weakness, we feel our inability. And yet, there is power in the message of the Gospel. How do we know that? It's because it's been changing lives for centuries. Changing lives ever since when the Holy Spirit came. Ever since the Gospel was first preached, it has been changing lives. And it has the power to change lives. Because God alone has the power to change people. He has the power to change us by forgiving us of our sinful record, giving us a new life in him by the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is the stronger man, stronger than the devil. He's not only the stronger man, he's also the Son of God. What a beautiful picture that is. We need strength, don't we? How vital it is to be strong, and we're going to cover that a bit later. The world has such a wrong idea about what's strong. Yes, it's good to be physically strong, it's good to be physically fit and so on, but spiritual strength is so much more important. And putting our trust and faith in the strong man who has overcome and won the victory is the answer. So the Lord Jesus Christ bound the strong man and overcame him by dying on the cross and going down into the depths of death and rising again. He has overcome the power of the strong man. And then in Romans chapter 3, it tells us a bit about ourselves. It tells us about something about ourselves that maybe we don't like to hear, perhaps. The whole book of Romans is a very big, thorough explanation of the Gospel. It tells us from the beginning, in very great detail, how we've come, our sins have separated us from God, and we need to come back to God. Tremendous book, the book of Romans is. But we learn in this verse, Romans 5 verse 6, we being still without strength. We have no strength. We've thought about the devil, the Satan, as the strong man, and now we're told that we have no strength. We have no strength of ourselves. We naturally like to think that we can make the grade, don't we? When we do exams in school, when we do a test of any kind, you have to just get the grade, you have to get the pass in order to get through, don't you, to the next level. You have to make the grade, you have to do something. And of course that's right in normal life. The Bible tells us that we are so far away from the required standard, it doesn't even compare. Even the very best things that we've done, even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I think we had a reminder of that last week. Even the very best things that we can do, they count for nothing before God, for our salvation. And we have no strength. Sometimes we feel that, don't we? We feel that we have no strength when we try to do some things in life that we can't manage to do. We can't get to work. Yesterday I tried again and again to get the minibus started, and I couldn't do it. I felt without strength in that sense. So frustrating, isn't it, when you want something to work and you want something to be able to do something and you can't. You have to rely on outside help. Eventually outside help came. And that's the even bigger question when we come to our salvation. We can do nothing with outside help. We can do nothing without the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has bound the strong man. But when we were without strength, Christ has died for the ungodly. He died in our place, dear friends. He died in order that you and I might be made fit to go into heaven through faith in his blood, through repentance towards God, and put our faith and trust in what he has done. If we put ourselves in that category, then he has died for us. If we count ourselves as ungodly, if we count ourselves as without strength, if we realise that we can offer nothing to God for our salvation, then he has died for us and we can receive the blessing. What an offer, dear friends. Those that have no strength, he has died for us. And that is the power of the gospel, dear friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave up his life on Calvary's cross. He allowed himself to be taken and beaten and whipped and crucified. The awfulness of that death, he died because of us. He died in our place and because of us, the things that we have done, he went that way for you and for me. And can you say that he was on that cross for me? That is the question in the gospel we must all answer. Can you say with certainty and assurance that he died for me? That makes all the difference, doesn't it? Doesn't matter what else happens in our life, doesn't matter what else goes right or wrong. If we know that we've been saved for time and for eternity, we are safe with him. What the world counts as success will all one day come to an end. No matter how successful we might be in this life, with money or career or anything else we might do, that will one day come to an end. What we offer tonight, dear friends, in the gospel is something which will last into eternity. How wonderful it is that this message is available to all whosoever will may come. How wonderful it is that everlasting, eternal life and joy with God in heaven forever is on offer to you tonight. What an offer, dear friends. I cannot offer you anything better. No one in this world can offer you anything better than the offer of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the greatest offer that has ever been made and ever could be made across this earth. The world offers many things, many false promises, many false promises. The gospel, dear friend, is the truth of God and has been proved to be the truth through so many changed lives. And the Lord Jesus Christ offers you the salvation tonight. God also offers you for free and full forgiveness of sins by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, who died for for the ungodly. We think about the strength and we think about weakness. But we sung in the hymn, "We gaze upon thy weakness." The Lord Jesus Christ came from the heights of heaven. Angels served and adored him. He had all strength in that sense. He had that place of glory and majesty. And yet he allowed himself to take that. He took that bondman's form, that humble place, and allowed himself to go the way of the cross. There is no more weak picture than a man dying on a cross. How awful that is. That's a picture of utter human misery and weakness. A man nailed to a cross. Eventually, the prisoner, the person crucified, would die of utter exhaustion and suffocation. What an awful, awful way to die. We gaze upon thy weakness. The Lord of glory came the way of weakness for you and for me, so that he might overcome the power of the strong man for you and for me, for those that trust in him. The weakness that we see in the Lord Jesus in that sense is the manger and the cross. Look at how humble his birth was. He was born into the most poor circumstances, far, far poorer than any of us have been born into. He died the death of a criminal, far worse than any other death. And dear friends, it was his love that took him there. The greatness of love has overcome. Love has overcome, love has won the victory, dear friends. And that victory can be yours through faith in him, through putting your faith and trust in him. In due time, Christ has died for the ungodly. But dear friends, he rose again. And as a result, for those that trust in him, for all those who have put their faith and trust in him, they can walk and do walk in newness of life. Newness of life through faith in him. And that's why I read the last passage. Because it's so important for us as believers to be strong in the Lord, isn't it? Paul writes elsewhere to one of the churches, "Many are weak and sickly among you." I think he says that to the Corinthians. "Many are weak and sickly among you." We can't live life to the full if we're weak and sickly, can we? If we're weak, that means that we're going to not be able to overcome the challenges of life. And when things happen to us, we're going to get ill. How important it is for us to be spiritually strong in the Lord. I feel very challenged about this. But we can only be strong in the Lord through his strength. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Ephesians 6 verse 10. "Be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength." Not our strength. God wants us to walk in a way that's pleasing to him, and he wants us to be strong in the Lord. Weakness in the Christian life means whenever you're weak, it means your enemy can attack you more easily. If you're weak in whatever way, those who are against you, those who hate you, can get the advantage over you easier. How important it is to us to be strong in the Lord. And how do we do that? We do that by following this passage. "Put on the panoply or armour of God." That means we need to be protected against the attacks of the devil. And the devil is the strong man, as I read earlier in Mark. "That you may be able to stand against the attacks or artifices of the devil." The devil is always on the attack against Christians. And that's why we have to be strong against the enemy. Because our struggle is not against blood and flesh. That means we're not against persons, people. Every person is someone for whom the Lord Jesus died. The gospel goes out to everyone. We're not against blood and flesh. We're not against people. But we are against principalities, authorities, universal lords of darkness. That is the spiritual powers of wickedness in the heavens. That means the devil and his angels who are against the Christian. There's so much in this passage. We could have to do another study at another time. But how important it is that we would be strong in the Lord. I just wanted to highlight a few things that we need in order to be strong. So we have to take the panoply, the armour of God in verse 13, and then we have to have girt about our loins with truth. That means we need to walk in truth. We need to live to be pleasing to God and to read the truth, to know the truth which is in God's word, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's righteousness through faith in the Lord Jesus. Verse 15, shod your feet with the preparation of the glad tidings of peace. That means the gospel. The glad tidings of peace is the gospel. How much we need to spread the gospel in order to help to spread the good news of the kingdom, the Lord Jesus. And taken the shield of faith. We put our faith and trust alone in the Lord Jesus. And put our faith in Him who has overcome. So it's through faith, and it's through reading of God's words. Notice here, helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. God's word is the source of the power, dear friends. Every time Satan attacked the Lord Jesus with a temptation, the Lord Jesus answers with God's word, the scriptures. Every time. The devil is always defeated by God's word. How vital it is for us to read and know God's word and use it against the devil when he tries to tempt us. And then praying at all seasons. How important it is for us to pray at all times, individually and together as a church. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching this very thing. This is the ingredients of a strong Christian life. How much we all need help in this. But God wants us to be strong so that we'll be able to stand against the attacks of the devil. And so that we will be able to grow and make progress in the Christian life, so that we can be pleasing to the Lord Jesus at His coming, which is coming soon. May we all have a greater assurance of our salvation, to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the strong God who has overcome the strong man, who has won the victory, and by putting our faith and trust in what He has done at Calvary's cross, and looking for Him to come, and being strong in the Lord and in the might of His strength. For His name's sake.